I am concerned that the panel that had primarily women on it, which was originally scheduled to go last, and which we told Mr. Scott would never even be seen by the people here if it went last, was first moved up in the day, and then not only moved back to the end, but collapsed into another panel. This is relevant to my theme, which has to do with the fact that when things happen to women, it really doesn't matter very much to very many people. I am in a position as a feminist who has been organizing against pornography for a very long time, of being very grateful to the research community that has taken feminist theory seriously enough to try to go and see if, in fact, pornography does harm to women. I say that because I am also entirely, entirely outraged that someone has to study whether hanging a woman from a meat hook causes harm or not. We are grateful to the research community. Out of our despair and out of our devastation, because we are silent and because when we speak up, nobody listens. We know how to quantify. We know how to count. We can show you the dead. And it doesn't matter if it comes from us. Objectivity, as I understand it, means that it doesn't happen to you. There are women researchers who are trying very hard to bring what they know as women into the research. There are male researchers who have paid attention to what we have said. I am not dismissing them, but I am saying that we are living in a society where you can maim and kill a woman, and there is a question as to whether or not there is a social harm. And somebody has to study it to find out. We know that men like hurting us. We know it because they do it and we watch them liking it. We know that men like dominating us because they do it and we watch them enjoying it. We know that men like using us because they do it and they do it and they do it and they do it and they do it. And men don't do things that they don't like, generally speaking. They like doing it, and they like watching it, and they like watching other men do it. And it is entertainment. And men pay money to see it. And that's one of the reasons that men make it. It's fun. Now, what we know is, though we being women, that there are people that it is fun for, and there are people that it is not fun for, and that women are the people that it is not fun for. Pornography is the sexualized subordination of women. It means being put down through sex, by sex, in sex, around sex, so that somebody can use you as sex and have a good time. And again, subordination consists of a hierarchy. That means one person's on the top and one person's on the bottom. And while hierarchy has been described in beautiful ideological terms over thousands and thousands of years, for us it is not an abstract idea, because we know who's on top. We usually know his name and his address. Often we do. So we understand hierarchy. And this is a hierarchy that has men on the top and women on the bottom. And subordination also consists of objectification. And objectification is when a human being, that's the tricky part, a human being, is turned into a thing, a commodity, an object. Someone who is no longer a human being. And they're used because they're not human like the other people around. And that frequently happens on the basis of their race, or it happens on the basis of their sex, and it happens to women on the basis of both. And subordination also consists of violence, overt violence. And it's not just violence against people. It's not. It's violence against women. It's violence against children who are very closely connected to women and powerlessness. It's violence that isn't such a mystery. Crazy maniacs don't do it. People who have power over other people do it. Men do it to women. Now, if you take hierarchy, and if you take sex, and if you understand that hierarchy is very sexy, then what you have, is a situation in which people are exploited systematically. And they are exploited in such a way that everyone thinks it's normal. The people who are doing it think it's normal. The people to whom it's done think it's normal. The people who report about it think it's normal. The people who study it think it's normal. And it's normal. That's the thing about it. It's actually normal. And it doesn't make a difference if it happens in private or if it happens in public, because women are primarily hurt in private. And now that the pornography is out in the world, where it is an officially established form of public terrorism against women, we think that we are dealing with something that is qualitatively different than we have ever dealt with before. But that is in fact not true. Because the pornography gets acted out on women, whether women see the pornography or not. Because the men who use the pornography, when it's criminal, when it's illegal, when people get put in jail for making it, they still have access to it, they still use it, and it still has all the consequences that you heard about today, and those consequences are acted out on the bodies of women. Now, I want to talk about subordination, social subordination, because women are not equal in this society. And one of the ways in which you can tell is the quality of our silence. The quality of our silence. The three Marias from Portugal said, and they were put in jail for saying this, they said, silence does not mean consent. Silence means dissent. Women are the population in this country that dissents most through silence. The so-called speech of women in pornography is silence. Splayed legs on a page are silence. Being beaver, pussy, cunt, bunnies, pets, whatever. That is silence. The words that women say in pornography, that is silence. give it to me, do it to me, hurt me, I want it bad, do it more. That is silence. And those who think that it is speech have never heard a woman's voice. And I want to tell you that even those screams, even the screams of the women tortured in pornography are silence. And that men pay money and watch, but no one hears a human scream. A human scream. They hear silence. And that is what it means to be born female. No one hears your scream as if you were a human being. Now, I am going to tell you why Catherine McKinnon and I wrote a civil rights bill that makes pornography a form of discrimination based on sex and a violation of the civil rights of women. We hallucinated those rights in a frenzy of hope, in a delirium of dreaming. We hallucinated that women could be recognized as human beings in this social system. Human enough, even, to have civil rights. Human enough to be able to assert those rights in the face of systematic sexual exploitation, brutality, and malice. So human, in fact, that one would not have to study to see if any harm is done when a woman is tortured. That human. So human that no one would have to study to see if harm is done by long-term, pervasive, systematic exploitation, dehumanization, objectification. So human, in fact, that one could actually assume as a premise throughout life, not just today on Sunday, but 7 days a week, all year long, forever, that when a woman is being tortured, or even only exploited, or even only used and used up, that a human was being tortured, exploited, and used up, and that that constitutes harm. You don't have to study it. If it's happening to a human being, it constitutes harm to a human being. We dreamed that women might be taken to be so extremely human that one would know, even without laboratory evidence, that when a woman is diminished in her integrity and her rights, humankind is diminished because of it. And we thought that it might even be possible that a woman could be so human that even the law, which is not big on recognizing human beings, right? But even the law might recognize her as being human enough to deserve equal protection under the law. Just that human, not even a smidge more. Just that. That's not even equality. That's not as human as men, not really, not entirely. That's not asking for much, is it? So human that when the pimps and the parasites sell her and coerce her and rape her and destroy her and abuse her and insult her so that men can be entertained by her exploitation and abuse, that those pimps and those users will have to face her in court for violating her human rights. Because, and this is the tricky part, because she's a human being. Pornography is at the heart of male supremacy, and that is whether the pornography is in private or in public. If you see pornography, you see male supremacy. And if you look around you and you see male supremacy, you better believe that you're seeing pornography, even if you don't know where it is in the room. And the goal of feminists who are fighting pornography is to end the hierarchy, the objectification, the exploitation, and what that means is the dominance of men over women and children. And we are going to do it. And what I want to tell you is that if you love male supremacy, but you abhor pornography, then you do not abhor pornography enough to do anything about it. A lot of people don't want pornography to be seen in public because it shows some very true things about what men want from women. Like dominance, power over women, women's inequality, the use of women as sexual objects. And it also shows what men do not want women to have, and that is humanity, integrity, and the self-determination that a group of women referred to earlier. Control, complete and total control over our own bodies, over our own lives, so that we are not used, so that we are not forced into sex, forced into pregnancy, or forced into a sexual relationship that is not of our choice and of the own integrity of our lives. Now, it's important for you to understand that the feminist movement against pornography is a grassroots movement against male supremacy, and that we are going to settle for nothing less than full social and sexual equality of the sexes, and we are going to get whatever institutional changes have to be made to accomplish that, and we are going to get self-determination for women, and we are even going to get something that people call justice. And I am wondering, and I think it is worth thinking about, what justice would look like for the raped and the prostituted. And I would like to know how afraid men really are of what that justice would look like. For instance, would it look like snuff? Would it look like deep throat? It might. Study that. We are going to stop the pornography in the shops, and in our lives. When it's written down and when it's acted out. And we're going to do it one way or another. Now, before I came here on Thursday night, another victim in 12 years of listening to women who have been hurt by pornography, another victim's story came to me. A woman who had been tied up, raped, photographed. The man had made hundreds of pictures of her. He had made hundreds of pictures of hundreds of other women. He had a list of the names of the other women that he was going to go and assault. She went to the police. They didn't do anything. She went to people who knew the man. They didn't do anything. Nothing, nothing, nothing. That's typical. And what he said to her when he tied her up after having raped her and started photographing her was, "Smile or I'll kill you. I can get lots of money for pictures of women who smile when they're tied up like you." Now, I want you to think about the way women smile. I want you to think about it every minute of every day. And I want to suggest to the men in this audience in particular that you had better be afraid of women who learn to smile at you that way. Thank you.